This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst, joins us to talk about what we went through in 2021 and what we can expect in 2022. Greg, welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, Noel. Thanks for having me.
Greg, you and I talked a number of times over this past year, and I thank you for saying we always appreciate the current and relevant data and information that you guys have to provide. 2021, I have to imagine, in your cycle of life and work life, had to be a strange one for you, was it not?
Yeah, I mean, maybe not as strange as 2020, but then again, that one set the bar pretty high, I guess. I think 2021 does, late 2021 does represent a bit of an inflection point in terms of, you know, looking at the stimulus, interest rates, going from pumping fuel into the economy with the effort, with the effect of reviving an economy that was reeling, to now starting to scale that back because the economy is doing well, unemployment's coming down, people are spending money. And so what started with that in late 2021 is certainly going to carry through into 2022. And I think particularly on the interest rate front, that's going to be one of the bigger turning points that we see this year. Not that rates are going to skyrocket, but you're going to see a turn where rates start to go up from these ultra low levels we've enjoyed over the last couple of years. And it could just be the beginning of a longer term trend over the course of the next 2 or 3 years if the strength of the economy is sustained.
You know, I don't know about you, but the way that you just responded, I paused because we're coming up on a 2-year anniversary. And when I think about talking about it as 2021, you know, in some respects, it almost feels like that was the beginning, but it wasn't. And here we are approaching the end of year two of this situation.
I know. It really, and I've had that discussion with a number of people where it's like, can you believe we're coming up on 2 years? And I think back to March of 2020, and I'm sure a lot of people had very similar experiences where things just changed so quickly. And in the sense of migrating from working from home, working in the office to working from home, it was only going to be for 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
Or 2 years into it, and we're still not back to. And I think that's just sort of a microcosm of just how life itself has been disrupted by the pandemic, and we're in many ways, far from normal or even our new normal in this environment.
Joke's on us, right? But let me do this from a macro sense. When you think back in 2020 and coming through 2022, when you're looking at the markets, everything around finance and money, do you see it or feel a different mindset today as we enter 2022 as opposed to what we saw through 2020 and 2021?
I do see a slightly more caution or hesitancy, in the sense that some of the really go growth names, meme stocks, IPOs, a lot of that that just had a lot of speculative fervor to it in late 2020 and throughout 2021, that I'm seeing a little more hesitation on that front. Not nearly enough, mind you. But I think, you know, that could be consistent with this turning point, this inflection point, that particularly if the price of money goes up in 2022, interest rates going up, that you will see further pullbacks in a lot of those really speculative names that were fueled in large part by ultra low interest rates and the stimulus being pumped in. All of a sudden you reverse that equation, and I think you're going to see more investors start to take a closer look at some of the things from a valuation standpoint and say, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I kind of thought we'd see that last year, and it really didn't start to materialize until very late in the year. But I think investors should certainly steel themselves for some additional volatility this year, particularly with valuations where they are right now.
Greg, when we talk about the technology sector, the utilization of social networks, web interest, or whatever it may be from a business model perspective, is it safe to say that 2020, 2021, we hit record numbers of utilization, usage, and otherwise than ever before? And I'm just kind of curious your thoughts about where does this go from here? My generation, if I'm an example of same, I can't wait to get off this technology. I'm one of those, I'm kind of miserable. I like the personal interaction. I like going out, meeting with people, having discussion. This isolation kind of thing that's going on right now is not healthy.
Well, the sort of personal aspects of that aside, just from a broad perspective, the increased digitization, that's not going away. And if anything, 2020 and 2021 just pushed us maybe 5 or 6 years down the path in a very short period of time. And I'll give you an example. I look at that through the lens of consumer banking habits, which is the sandbox that we play in at Bankrate.com, and the increased adoption of online banking, mobile banking. When branches were closed, people couldn't go into a branch. People that had never before made a mobile deposit were suddenly taking pictures with their phones and making deposits that way. Once you've done it, you won't go back into a branch to make a deposit again. You can get hooked on that type of convenience very, very quickly. And I think from a consumer habit standpoint, a lot of those habits that may have been adopted out of necessity during the early stages of the pandemic are now habits of convenience that people are not going to go back to. So you're going to continue to see the evolution of technology because consumers are going to continue to demand greater and greater utility and convenience. And if anything, I think the pandemic has accelerated that, not slowed it down.
Yeah, the more we talk, the more I recognize I may be the outlier, or maybe some people refer to me as weird because I still go in and make the deposits. I like the paper trail. I guess there's a sense of control for me there.
I'll tell you, Noel, you got to try the mobile deposit. Make that deposit with your phone. You will never go back.
All right. So let's talk about where we go from here. Obviously, a lot of uncertainty in 2021 relative to supply chain, inflation. You guys seem to think that a lot of this will begin to start to tail off through the end of 2022.
Yeah, but it's probably not going to be until much later in the year. So I think for the bulk of 2022, we're going to continue to talk about supply chain constraints. We're going to continue to talk about inflation. And I think perhaps most significantly, households are going to continue to feel it. And here's what I mean by that. The inflation numbers, the statistics that we hear when the consumer price index comes out, and prices are up 6.8% in the last year, the fastest pace in 39 years, that number will start to moderate in the back half of 2022. But that's not to say that the person who's renewing their lease in July or August isn't going to see their rent jump 10 or 15%, right? So, you know, we may be looking at headline numbers that start to come back to earth a little bit in the second half of 2022. But on the ground as consumers, that doesn't mean we're out of the woods because of those things that do reprice maybe only once or twice a year, like the your rent, like insurance premiums. Those kind of things could deal a pretty notable jump to people and put a big dent in the household budget, even at a time when the headline figures may be saying, hey, look, inflation's it's starting to come under control again. I think we have to keep that in mind. There's going to continue to be pressure on the household budget throughout 2022 from prices and across a wide spectrum.
And we still believe that the Fed will probably tweak rates at least three times in 2022?
Well, they think they're going to tweak rates at least three times. The Fed has a history of overestimating how aggressive they think they can be and how much they can push up interest rates and how soon. And if history is any guide, what tends to happen is we get blindsided by something we didn't quite see coming, and it derails those plans, and Fed ends up not being able to raise rates as much as they thought they were. So the Fed is kind of centering around the idea of three rate hikes in 2022, and it's certainly plausible. My forecast, I've got them raising rates twice, and that's just accounting for the unexpected, which, as I said, history has shown that tends to pop up, and it does tend to derail those plans. So whether it's the Omicron or another variant, whether it's a geopolitical crisis somewhere in the world, or just something else entirely we can't even think of, I think the likelihood is that the Fed raises rates twice rather than three or four times. But in any event, the writing's on the wall, interest rates are going to go up. And so I think that's, as a consumer, it's time to start game planning for that, time to start taking action. And, you know, particularly if you have high cost variable rate debt, like credit card debt, now's the time to get busy on paying that down, transferring that balance to a lower rate card so you can accelerate the debt repayment, because rates are going to start going up in 2022, but they're probably not going to stop going up in 2022. They're probably going to continue to go up as long as the economic expansion continues in 2023 and beyond. So it's a cumulative effect that you need to be mindful of, and now's the time to get out ahead of it.
You guys have watched closely credit card debt in this country. Has it improved any through 2021?
2021 was really a turning point there. In 2020, with so many things on lockdown and people that had fewer avenues for spending, but they may have had more stimulus coming in that enabled them to boost emergency savings and pay down credit card debt. We saw credit card debt actually come down pretty notably in 2020. But what happened in 2021, as things started to reopen and as inflation started to pick up, we started to see those credit card debt levels moving back up. And they're moving back up because people are spending, but also because budgets get stretched by things like inflation. And now you layer on top of that the outlook for rates starting to inch higher this year and beyond. I think that's what really adds to this urgency, that if you've managed to tack on some credit card debt, you know, maybe because of an income disruption or something, now's the time to get busy, you know, get that ship back on course to pay down that debt, get it paid off completely. That's ultimately the end game, because it's only going to get more expensive this year and next year and beyond.
A number of people ask, credit card interest rate seems to move first before all others, even before the Fed or otherwise takes action, and then maybe mortgage and home equity rates come after. Action taken.
Mortgage rates tend to move before because they're based on longer term rates. Now, credit cards and home equity lines, they tend to move very quickly after the Federal Reserve raises rates. So if we're looking at two rate hikes this year, then you know, your credit card rate, your home equity line of credit rate, it's going to be half a percentage point higher by the time we get to year end. And so I think that's where that urgency is, to start game planning now, because you know that that debt is going to get more expensive. Mortgage rates do tend to move beforehand because they're based more on the outlook for the economy and inflation.
And where do we expect those rates to move to? I mean, we've had in a climate of incredibly low rates for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I expect rates are going to go up this year, but not a whole lot. I have them staying below the 4% mark throughout the year. And then as we get to the fourth quarter of the year, I see mortgage rates actually pulling back a little bit. We may see some growth concerns about 2023, and that has a tendency to pull rates back down. So rates that started the year on average around 3.25% will end the year at 3.5%. But along the way, we'll move higher. We'll move up to 3.75 or so before starting to pull back in the latter portion of the year. Nonetheless, rates below 4%, not something that is going to take the wind out of the sales of the housing market. I think the fundamental issue for home buyers is going to continue to be you can't buy it if it's not for sale. And just the limited inventory of homes available for sale and in your price range is going to be continue to be the issue that really vexes a lot of would-be home buyers, not mortgage rates.
The gravity of Omicron, kind of still out there, not certain. We're getting, a lot of new data coming in this week. Obviously, after the holidays, the number of admissions for children into children's hospitals, severity of the illness, and just the raw numbers are they're rolling off the map right now.
Yeah, and it's I think it's still early days in the sense that we've got to really see what the data says coming in. There are some positive indications in terms of that it may pass very quickly. It may not lead to the levels of hospitalization that we've seen in previous variants. Again, time will tell, and we'll have to see what the data says. But I think I've seen a rash of economic projections for the first quarter of this year get ratcheted down in a pretty significant way because of Omicron. And then it's not that the expectation is going to derail the economy. It's just going to be a headwind in the short term. But nonetheless, there is an economic cost when people decide to stay home rather than go out because of concerns about the variant. And that's just one of those issues we've been dealing with. We've been through a few rounds of this now over the last nearly 2 years.
The pent-up demand, though, is still there. It's not, it seems to me it's not growing weary. I mean, just here in New Orleans over the holidays, we had, hotels were booked solid here for the Sugar Bowl. People were in the city big time, both from around here within driving distance and actually flying in as well. So it seems to me that this pent-up demand is just mounting. It's not diminishing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why, what you're seeing with regard to the expected economic impact of Omicron is that, it just, holds back a little bit of activity now, but that, a lot of that gets made up later because of the fact that, the travel, for example, there's a lot of revenge spending that people are either already doing or very eager to do once they feel it's safe to do so.
Last question, Greg, and this, I think, is still in your wheelhouse. The Labor Department released their numbers this morning where 4.5 million people voluntarily left their jobs in November. It was the most in two decades. This continues to kind of mystify people, does it not?
Well, it's painted in the light of, 4.5 million people left their jobs like they're all sitting on the beach today. No, we're seeing so many people leave their jobs because they're able to get another one that pays better or has more flexible hours or, something that just better suits their lifestyle. This is a very vibrant labor market, a lot of open jobs. And so that's what we're seeing. We haven't seen people dropping out of the labor force in recent months. We've actually seen people coming back into the labor force because the labor market's so strong. So, this great resignation, I think that's a little overstated in the sense that they may be resigning from one job, but they're starting another one shortly thereafter, in large part because of the fact that this is a great environment for workers. They're seeing wage growth like they haven't seen in years before. We've seen a record number of job openings. And so, there's opportunity abounding, and you're seeing people capitalize on that.
Absolutely. as always, love the information that you guys provide. Really appreciate the time spent. I hope you had a great holiday season and look forward to speaking with you more through now 2022.
Thanks so much, Noel. I appreciate it.
All right, as Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst, we will be right back after the break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.